Of all the questions that we get everywhere we go, this is the one that comes up the most.
All this and more. Welcome to the Jewish Road Podcast.
Every tribe, every tongue, Emmanuel, your king shall come. End of sorrows, end of pain, come and praise Creator's name.
Hey, welcome to the Jewish Road Podcast. We're back with another episode. My name's Matt Davis.
And I'm Ron Davis, and you are forewarned.
You didn't have to sign anything. We just tell you ahead of time that if you're listening, you're doing so at your own risk. Yeah. And we have a good insurance policy. Yeah. Right?
Don't tell them that.
Okay. All right. This is an episode. Let me tell you the real reason why we're doing this episode. We, wherever we go, if we jump on a podcast and we're being interviewed by somebody, if I just happen to see somebody at the grocery store and they say, oh, you're Jewish, I have a question for you. It's never about, hey, what's your favorite hot dog? Do you like Hebrew National or, you know, the Coney's, whatever. It's always this question for me. I'd say it's like 7 times out of 10. And it always comes out of left field. And now I expect it. But it's about, are you ready for this?
Tell me, I can't wait. I'm sitting on pins and needles.
Well, that's good, because earlier you were sitting on a feather. You couldn't stop laughing. We always get asked about the red heifer.
Right.
And I wanted to do this podcast so, number one, we could give our take on it. Number two, then I won't have to answer anybody's question when this comes up, because it always comes out of, we could be talking about Passover, and they're going to say, well, what about the red heifer? We could be talking about circumcision, and they'll say, what about the red heifer?
Wait a minute.
Hey, you've been forewarned. You already said that, right? But now I can just say, go listen to this episode, and then I don't have to explain anything else. Yeah. I want to be helpful, but not always.
Yeah. I don't know. I like to argue with people.
You do? Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well,
those are good conversations. It's fun.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, yeah. let's do some more arguing on the podcast. Okay. We'll have some fun. All right. So let's do this.
Welcome to Two Jews and Three Opinions.
those were rejected podcast names. Instead, we went for the very creative, the Jewish Road Podcast. All right, let's do this. The red heifer. Now some people don't even know. When I say red heifer, they don't even know what that means.
No.
So let's define, first and foremost, what is a red heifer?
Okay. Well, a red heifer is a young cow.
Not a calf.
Female. It's not a calf. It's probably two years old, maybe in its third year.
Yes.
And it is all kind of brownish red without a white hair or anything in it. I mean, it has to be perfect.
Without blemish.
Without
blemish means that there is no other discoloration. And so, I mean, can you imagine? Like, I remember when I just started getting the gray hairs. I'm still doing okay, but it's like, it's one. And when I go to to the haircutter lady, I say, you see that one right there? And she has to dig around and she finds it. And then I go back to being without blemish again. Did I get off track?
Yeah, you're a little off track.
Okay. Back to the red heifer. People are going to actually probably have more questions. Are you doing okay? You got the cough button. I know you have the cough button, but still. Well, we're derailing quite easily here. People have asked, what is the red heifer? So this is a pure, spotless animal. It is a 2 to 3 year old female cow, and it has some symbolism. Now let's talk first and foremost. Is it biblical? Does the red heifer show up in the Bible?
Oh yeah, it shows up in Numbers 19.
Yes,
and I think that's pretty much the place where it shows up. And I think this whole red heifer, sacrifice, yeah, was instituted at a time when Israel was wandering in the wilderness, and so many thousands and thousands of them died in the wilderness as a part of God's judgment for their unbelief. And the Israelites who were there came in contact with dead bodies so often that they were considered unclean, and there had to be a sacrifice, something that would cleanse them and put them back to whole. So God instituted this whole process of the sacrifice in the red heifer that was instituted there in the wilderness. I think there have only been 9 red heifers that have been sacrificed in all of these years.
So the question is the red heifer even biblical? Is this something that has been made up by the rabbis, or does it actually show up in the Bible?
No, it actually shows up in the Torah in the book of Numbers and chapter 19. And I think it was instituted initially because of the fact that as the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness for that 40 years, thousands and thousands of them died until that entire generation passed away. And so the people, having to deal with the dead bodies, came in contact with dead bodies constantly and became unclean, and they had to be cleansed.
Right. Purification is a big deal with God.
Yeah.
God likes things clean.
Right.
Right. Wash your hands right before you go in as a priest into the Holy of Holies. But there is this ritual purification that always has to take place, when even in terms of menstruation, and you have to go outside the camp. There has to be this ritual process of how do we cleanse those who are not pure. If you have leprosy, this is what you do. And so this is one of those things that was instituted, and we see it show up, and it's constant. Like, look throughout Leviticus, look throughout Numbers. You'll see these points in time where God says, I want you to be clean and pure, but this is exactly how I want you to do it.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting point, is since you brought it up, that, there's the offerings for when you're cured from leprosy, but they were never done because nobody was ever cured until Yeshua.
Huh.
And he said, go and show yourself to the priest.
Oh. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
You learn something new every day.
All right. Well,
that's good.
Okay.
I'm proud of you. So Numbers 19. Let's pick this up. Let's go to where do we want to pick this up? And by the way, we're pulling some of this stuff from a guy that's done some good work on it, right?
Oh, he's written a fantastic book. His name's Mondo Gonzalez. He's written a book called The Red Heifer Ritual, and I would suggest that you go online and get a copy.
Yeah, it's newer. It's I think he put it out in 2022, and it's simple. It's good reading. It's accessible, and at the same time, it's academic and it's deep. So
yeah. We want to get Mondo on here.
Yes. Hey, Mondo, if you're listening, call me back.
Yeah. He put this book out in 2023.
2023. Okay, so that's very new.
Yeah.
All right, good. All right, so let's pick it up. In Numbers chapter 19, what verse do we want to start in? I'm looking. I'm going to start in, let's just go to verse 1. It says this, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying," I'm waiting for you to turn pages because it's the loudest thing on earth here.
Yeah.
There you go. You got it?
Yeah.
All right. "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, this is the statute of the law that the Lord has commanded. Tell the people of Israel to bring you a red heifer without defect, in which there is no blemish, and on which a yoke has never come." So it can't ever carry anything. Remind me about that later. I'm gonna tell you about that. "And you shall give it to Eleazar the priest, and it shall be taken outside the camp and slaughtered before him." Outside the camp, remember that also.
Yeah.
"And Eleazar, the priest, shall take some of its blood with his finger and sprinkle some of its blood toward the front of the tent of meeting 7 times." God's being very specific here. "And the heifer shall be burned in his sight. Its skin, its flesh, and its blood with its dung shall be burned. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet yarn and throw them into the fire, burning the heifer. And then the priest shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterward he may come into the camp." He may come into the camp afterward. "But the priest shall be unclean until evening. The one who burns the heifer shall wash his clothes in water and bathe his body in the water and shall be unclean until evening. And a man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and deposit them outside the camp in a clean place. And they shall be kept for the water for impurity for the congregation of the people of Israel. It is a sin offering. And the one who gathers the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. And the people, this shall be a perpetual statute for the people of Israel and for the stranger who sojourns among them. This is quite a process.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it was tough living under the law.
They didn't have cranes to lift it all up. They didn't have bathhouses. They're doing this out in the wilderness.
Yeah. Well, I think the focal point of all of it is the purpose of what we've been talking about is the cleanliness of the people and the holiness of God.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't enter into the presence of his holiness without being clean. And so they had this whole process instituted whereby they would become ceremonially clean before the Lord.
Yeah. So as we look at this, this has become a part of headline news and prophecy today. And there has been this search. You said, how many times has the red heifer been sacrificed over history?
Yeah, from what I understand, it has only been sacrificed 9 times.
9 times throughout Israel's history.
Yeah.
And so we're getting that, not just from here in Numbers 19, but this is, the rabbis have talked about this, right?
Yeah. You know, it's just a part of the counting that they have kept track of. And the next one will be the 10th one.
Okay, so why right now, at this point in history, is there such a stir over all of this? There has been, if you're reading, there have been spotless, without blemish, red heifers that were born in Texas, and 5 of those, what was it, September 15th, 2022, these 5 red heifers were put in some kind of major cargo plane and shipped off to Israel where they are being cared for today.
Yeah.
And they are hoping that out of this, they will actually have a red heifer that they will be able to use for a sacrifice. And if they actually do, why is that important?
Yeah. Well, it's important because of the way it's connected to the third temple. The purification that needs to take place when the red heifer is burned and everything is burned, and it's burned with the cedar wood and it's all mixed together, it becomes something that is mixed with the water and it becomes part of a purification. And when the third temple is being built, or I should say the next temple, which the Jewish people are looking forward to, a temple being built on the Temple Mount, they will have to have the ashes of a red heifer as a part of the purification of that. So the question is, you know, how close are we to a third temple? Just the mentioning of this and, you know, the awareness amongst a lot of people kind of leads us in the direction that these are some things that are going to be taking place in the end of days, because that third temple is something that is going to exist in the last days during the Great Tribulation, during the time of Jacob's trouble. And so the two things really go together. I've heard that 3 of the red heifers are still eligible, 2 have been disqualified. I also heard that they have to be born in the land of Israel, not Texas.
Yeah, but that is not a biblical prerequisite, but they have them. They're also trying to breed these heifers that are over there. But let's look at this. Let's do a couple things. Number one, let's look at the idea of and ask the question, will there actually be a third temple? To ask that question, we also have to assume that there was a first temple and a second temple. So we know the first temple was built by Solomon. Right? Mm-hmm. That is 1,000 years before the time of Jesus. That temple is destroyed and then rebuilt by Zerubbabel.
Right.
And then we had the second temple. That is then leveled in 70 AD by Titus and Rome.
Right.
And then built on top. And then really it stood stagnant and torn down for hundreds and hundreds of years until what is there today was built, which is the Dome of the Rock.
Dome of the Rock, right. And, you know, that was sometime after 600 AD.
Yeah, I think it was 639, 689, 679, is something like that. So 7th century, we have the Dome of the Rock. The rock that is actually within the dome is Mount Moriah. It's the rock that is believed that Abraham took Isaac in Genesis 22.
Right. Of course, they say it's the rock where Ishmael.
Abraham and Ishmael.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's different, but it is a holy site for both the Jewish people, for the Muslims, and even for the Christian community. But it is here. If you're going to actually build a third temple, then it has to be there in that place. And if it's going to be there in that place, then that place has to be ritually purified. Right. So this is Jewish mindset today, is that there is something called the Third Temple Institute.
Right.
What do we know about the Third Temple Institute?
Well, the Third Temple Institute has plans already. I think that they're completed.
They're ready.
They're ready to build that temple. The priesthood has been trained, and they are ready. They have everything in place for a third temple. They just need the temple, and they need the red heifer to be the purifying, you know, solution in the dedication of the next temple.
Right, and so you go to Israel today, and as you're walking down to the Western Wall, you will see a massive 14-karat gold menorah, and it's behind plexiglass, and it is there, and it is ready to be put in the Third Temple. You can see it. They have created all of the artifacts. They have the all of the priests. The priests are going through training. You can actually go online and say that I'm a priest, and you can go through the training yourself. So that they know when the temple is erected again, that they will be able to take everybody through all of the sacrifices that are necessary. But since the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, there have been no sacrifices.
There haven't been any sacrifices. And, you know, that brings us into some messianic understandings, you know, as to how is there any sacrifice for sin in the last 2,000 years?
That's right. Well, and we obviously know that we've just been going through the Passover season, and that there was a lamb that was sacrificed once and for all. But let's talk about this too. We know that there is a third temple biblically. This is not just a hunch that we have. And one of the mentions, we're not going to hit all of them, but one of those mentions comes from Daniel chapter 9.
Yeah, Daniel chapter 9, verse 27 says, and this is Daniel prophesying at this point and saying that in verse, actually the prophecy starts in verse 24, but in verse 27, it says concerning this temple, and he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week. This would be the Antichrist, the one who's going to rise up and solve the problems of Israel and the world. And he's going to make a strong covenant.
Which you can actually, you see the need for who is going to solve the problems between Israel and the world. It's becoming more and more stark as we speak.
Yeah, the world really does not have a leader right now.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of people just creating havoc, but one is going to rise up, you know, one of these days.
And you can imagine the one that comes up with a solution for peace between Israel, which the entire world right now is hating Israel. If there is somebody that can come up with this solution for peace between Israel and the rest of the world, that person's going to get some notoriety.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's going to be the one. And, you know, it says he's going to make a strong covenant with many for 1 week. And he's talking to Daniel's people. So when he says with many, that doesn't mean all of them. There will be some who resist this. And it says, for half of the week, he shall put an end to the sacrifice and offering. So what does that tell you?
It tells you if there's sacrifices and offerings, that there has to be a temple.
There has to be a temple there.
Which means that this could not have happened in the last 2,000 years.
Right. And so Daniel is obviously speaking of a day, and he's speaking of the last days. He's speaking really of the 70th week, you know, the 70th period of 7 years.
Right.
Yeah, that the Messiah would come after 69 of those sevens and be cut off. In other words, he would die and not get that which was rightly his. And then there's a big gap in time. And then there's the 70th week or the 70th seven. In Hebrew, it's Shavuim, 77s. And during this time, which Jeremiah chapter 30 refers to that period of time, that seven-year period, as the time of Jacob's trouble. During that time, he says, and for half of the week, he shall put an end to the sacrifice and offering. So in other words, in the middle of that seven-year period, after 3.5 years, he's going to go into this temple, and he's going to put an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abominations shall come one who makes desolate until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator. Daniel 9:27.
And so we have this pointing forward, but there is a type of this even looking backward when we have what we call the Hanukkah story, and you have Antiochus IV, who literally did this, came into the temple in Jerusalem and desecrated. There was an abomination of desolation. He kills a pig within the sanctuary, within the Holy of Holies right there in Jerusalem.
Yeah. And we're really going to have a repeat performance of that. And that's also referred to in Daniel, I think, chapter 11 and verse 31, mm-hmm. and also in the book of 1 Maccabees, the apocryphal book, which we don't consider a part of the canon of Scripture, but it is a pretty good historical, accurate historical book.
Yeah. So that's an Old Testament reference to this temple that is to come. We also have a New Testament, Act 2, reference, and you can find this in Matthew 24. It says, so when you see, this is 24:15, so when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. So if you have this abomination of desolation that is directly, this is Jesus speaking and tying it directly back to Daniel here, when he's standing in the holy place, then you know everything is about to break loose, right?
Yeah.
So you can only have a holy place if you have a holy place, and that holy place is the temple. Right. So we know that there is a temple to come. The prerequisite for that temple, according to Jewish mindset today, is that we need a red heifer, right?
That's right.
This is the mission of not all Jewish people, not all Israelis, but there are the Orthodox, those who are following and zealous for the law. We need the red heifer if we're going to have the temple.
That's right. And so,
which will make everything pure, right? Like, I mean, essentially the Temple Mount is surrounded by the Mount of Olives, which is just nothing but tombstones. And they even put a cemetery right there in front of the Eastern Gate, right? So you can't really go a lot of places without walking on a grave somewhere, which would, for the Jewish people, is ceremonially unclean.
Yeah. Well, they put that cemetery, it's an Arab cemetery there, because they had heard that when the Messiah returns, he's going to come in through the Eastern Gate.
Right.
He would have to come across the cemetery.
Yes. I don't know how he's going to figure that one out. Not only did they put the cemetery there, but they actually sealed
the gate.
That Eastern Gate, right?
Yeah.
So we have to... Here's how this plays out in the world today, because what we're getting a lot from a lot of people is there's red heifers now. Israel has red heifers. That means that Israel wants to perform the sacrifice of the red heifer, take the ashes of the red heifer with the water, and they want to purify all of this area so that they can build the temple. If you are a Muslim that is listening to that and you think, it feels like Israel is very close, then we have to do something about that. Now, while that is the case, and while there are all of Israel's enemies surrounding them, knowing that this is part of the motivation for the Jewish people, no hidden motivation there, but obviously they would want to do everything in their power to stop that. And so this is where we get some of the headlines, especially in some of the prophetic world. Everybody's saying the reason that October 7th happened was because Israel has the red heifers and they're about to build the temple. And this is why Hamas wanted to stop it. This is why Iran wanted to stop it.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a hard time buying that. I think that if you are a believer and a follower of the Messiah, Jesus. Don't get carried away with all of that kind of, hyper talk about the things that are concerning the third temple. We're not looking for the third temple. We know as far as prophecy is concerned, that temple is going to exist, but we're looking really for the fourth temple, the temple that the Messiah himself is going to build, and, you know, we will partake in the millennial kingdom.
That's right. So while this is certainly not a deep dive and a thorough examination, number one, we want to encourage you to keep your eyes open. While we think that this is interesting and it is something that we are watching, I don't think that this is an indicator of the end. I think there's lots of other things that are indicators that we are living in these last days, which is even just an incredible thing to be able to say at this point in history. But we want to be able to make sure that we are guarding the temple of our lives, that we know that the Spirit of God has always dwelled in temples, in the first temple, in the second temple. Today, the indwelling of the Spirit of God, the presence of God, is in us. And we know that when that third temple comes, we're not cheering this on, but it's an indication that the end times are coming, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we can see that the stage is being set, and we know we're very close to the end of history, I would say. And this is just one more indicator of it, but I wouldn't be sending any of your money to get red heifers shipped over to Israel. While it might be exciting with regard to the third temple being built, it's not going to be good. It doesn't have a good ending.
Right. All of the calamity, all of the trouble that we have seen so far in the world is nothing compared to what will happen during those 7 years.
Yeah, yeah. Matthew says it is going to be a time like the world has never seen.
And I already feel like we are living in a time that the world has never seen.
Yeah.
So until then, we want to be students of the Word. We want to be faithful to watching and waiting and looking for the things that the Messiah has pointed out, but to also be watching to see what the world is doing and how they are perfectly playing into what Scripture has written thousands of years ago. So at this time, we say we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Sha'alu shalom Yerushalayim.
And we say, stay tuned. There's more to come.
That's right.
Shalom.
Shalom.